I've never seen this money before in my life.
Welcome back to the Trading Places Minute. This is the show where we discuss the film Trading Places 1 minute at a time. I am one of your three hosts. My name is Tom Taylor. I have a slight cold. Over here is Mike DiMaria. Mike, how are you? Do you have a cold?
No.
Oh, Winthorpe. I can make a joke about parents not being alive to see this, but it'd be a little too close to home, wouldn't it? For two of us, anyway. Or three of us. Yeah, anyway. Anyway, speaking of other people, there's Dan Lewis. Hello, Dan.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. Got two and a half parents left.
Oh, no, yeah. No, one. So it's you have one whole parent left.
We have one set of parents.
No. Yeah, no? We have one mom and one dad.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting conflicting reports of Tom's dad's demise right now.
The episode that just aired for Patreon today, number 22, I think, we were joking about my dad, the salad bowl spinning on the floor.
And the milk gulping on the floor.
My dad is still with us as of this recording. Keep on going, Dad. Keep on trucking.
And you hear somebody as you're looking up at the ceiling, and you hear a voice in the.
No!
And you just decide whether you're going to go up there or not, or just stay down there.
Yeah. Finish the recording.
Yeah, just stay in the basement.
Get the recording. We're in the pocket, baby. Stay in the pocket.
That's right. Just keep it real.
We picked up the blitz. You just got to stay in the pocket. Wait till your receivers get open.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Welcome though, Dan. Welcome. I kind of did, but it got all stepped over. Hi, Dan.
Mike stepped on it. I also had a cold in the past. It's why I still have the little bit of a lower voice.
I don't have that right now. I just have the kind of dry inside of my head feeling. I feel like I'm mostly over this cold. It's like really just up in my head. But it's still at the point where when I blow my nose first thing in the morning, all sorts of phantasmagorical things happen. It's kind of great. It's kind of fun. It's like satisfying.
He has one of those Norman Rockwell type colds where you lay in a bed.
Exactly. He's got an ice pack on his head.
Yeah, it's more of a Thomas Kincaid, actually, when I blow my nose.
And the wife, you know, the early 40s wife bringing us a platter of soup and food.
Yeah, slippers.
And the son or daughter's bringing the paper.
Yeah.
And there's just a glazed ham on the table for no reason.
Cooling, glowing.
Yeah,
Dad is sick.
Let's give him all the space he needs to heal. Golden retriever.
But in the real world, it's like, oh, you're sick again.
Yeah.
Get back to work.
Yeah.
When's my right time?
Yeah. When's my right time, Kent?
Well, hey, welcome to minute 37 of Trading Places. This minute begins with Clarence Beeks dropping the bomb on the assembled Heritage Club that 10 minutes ago, the $50 bills marked with red X's were stolen from the coat room. Then he proceeds to cross the vast green rug, stopping in front of Lewis to reveal the X-marked bills in front of him, at which point the harumphing begins throughout the room over Lewis's cries of innocence, and the minute ends with the Dukes publicly declaring their shame and disappointment as Lewis is carted off.
Great visual right here at the great camera framing. As you get Mr. Beeks, you got the guy in the background, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guy in the background. And as soon as he says about 10 minutes ago, they were stolen. The blood absolutely drains from the guy's face.
Yeah.
And he goes from
remaining blood is in there.
Yeah. But it goes from
the last pint.
This could not happen in our place. And then he turns to just absolute just disgust and anger as he looks around like, who, motherfucker?
Which That's one great. Are you
Look at it.
Bitches.
Just do what you can do without sound because you just really see him good. Like, what? Motherfuckers.
Yeah. And not at the Heritage Club.
Yes.
Oh, well, you lousy motherfucker bumps. That's what
it's
he's
really
saying.
Good. Yeah. It is. Well, yeah,
it's almost better to do it without the sound on, but you just see it's like total acting like, if he was giving an acting class, he would teach that.
Yes, he just melts into horror.
This guy nails it. And he's standing. So, you know, he's someone of some
there
standing.
Is right there.
Because he's standing.
This man is 100 times lower.
Motherfuckers.
And he has a watch fob.
Of course he does.
Also fine, cool.
Yeah. Is that ever going to come back? Or like pocket watches ever going to come back?
I don't see why they would, but
I don't see why
maybe
they would either.
You chain your iPhone.
Yes,
to
you
the,
chain your
to
phone
to the three-piece suit,
or like, the, or like you take you just, your Apple Watch or your Google Watch or whatever. You take the bands off it and just put that on a chain.
Or you have yeah, a, or you have a Apple Pocket Watch. They make an actual.
They will.
Pocket
yeah,
watch.
They'll come out with that. And,
oh yeah, you flip it open, and but it's got all this keeps your heart rate and all that shit. You know?
Right.
My dad
but
gave
you do
this
have to flip
me.
This
is his Apple iPocket Pocket yeah. Watch.
This is my father's yesterday, and now he gave it to me because it sucks.
He gave it to me because he upgraded.
Yeah.
It's my dad's iPod Shuffle that clips right on your lapel.
I do like the idea of though being like, "What time is it?" You pull out your phone. It's you got a vest and it's got a pocket.
Yeah.
Or the phone.
Right.
It's got the fob hanging down the chain, and you pull it out and you go, well, let's see here.
Yeah. Oh.
10:32.
Took me 13 seconds to figure that
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, somebody else gave them the time and they're already walking away now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, good day to you, sir. Sir.
Come
Where'd
back.
You go?
His attention.
As Beaks is, this is one thing I always zero in on when I'm watching this movie. It's one of my favorite moments. He's crossing, it's like an overhead shot of him like stepping down from the podium and crossing this vast green rug that's like between yep. the podium and like the seats and everything. And every time I'm watching it, I'm like, I think there's one instant, like maybe one frame where there's nothing but green. Like you just him and green. Like you can't see
green.
Either end of the thing. But I just did it frame by frame for this, and there is actually no single frame. Like what the podium end disappears and the
so
yeah
the,
he would be an empty
table
and he would be in an empty field of green. Oh, it's yeah. it's very close though.
It is
He's
so close.
Green.
I don't know if that's
but
like an OCD thing of mine or
with,
something, but yeah,
I'm gonna
but you
post
would have
this.
To do, but you would have to do away with that there because it's a pattern too.
There
yeah,
is there
well
is.
Yeah,
but that,
a little
you know,
bit. I mean, it's a fuzzy. The pattern is way up at the top left.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the frame that Tom is speaking of.
Yeah.
Oh,
it just it just trades over. Like there's a little in the upper right corner of the screen and in the lower left corner of the screen. There's just a little bit
oh,
of new
Tommy
stuff.
Tommy almost had his dream.
I guess, although I guess if you watch it like in the old days, like pan and scan, and it's just fitting to your old square
pan
TV, that would work just fine.
The pan and scan.
Yeah,
that was his. Yeah,
those
are
the days.
That was his
old,
AV
old,
club
old pan
nickname.
And scan. Yeah,
that was his AV club nickname. When's old? When's pan and scan coming
old,
with the bringing
old
the
pan
VHS
all the,
and
he
TV?
Kept the frame.
And the yeah. cool kid was named Letterbox, and he showed up. And
he was Letterbox.
Everybody
up.
Wants to hang
yeah,
out with Letterbox
yeah.
instead.
Criterion Chris.
Hey, Pan and Scan, room 222 just ordered a TV and a VCR. Bring Wheel It Over on the car.
Yes,
you got
sir.
It, Chief.
I'm
you
on
got it.
It.
As soon as he leaves, fucking Pan and Scan.
Pan and Scan.
How do we get rid
up.
Of that guy?
Hey,
grandfather
guys. Yeah. It's all green.
Be kind, rewind.
He steps down into the craps table because they do the overhead shot. The table
yeah.
looks like a craps table.
That's right, it does.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You are good.
And then yeah, as like Mike was saying about the guy behind Beaks just turning cold and sick.
Oh.
Todd next to Lewis, like the second that money turns over, he just immediately turns to like his buddy next to him. He's no regard for Lewis at all. It's like I'm
distancing like, you know what he's saying to him? It's my time now.
It's my time now.
My time, Ken.
It's my time now.
Got to call up Penelope on my pocket watch.
Here's another thing. So there, how come all the people standing behind Beegs, they don't have to participate in this exercise? Are they
I was
the
thinking
upper
of that, yeah. Because they don't have a table. They don't have a table on which to put whatever
they're
is
exempt.
In the pocket of the guy next to them.
They're exempt.
They're, yeah, they have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah,
they could steal money from the coat room. They could do
right.
whatever they want to do.
No one will ever know. Yeah, what would have happened if right. Lewis? You know, like this all seems like I don't know if this is assigned seating or anything. What if Lewis had ended up against the wall back there? How would this have all played out? How would Beaks have?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, right.
But they know he's not going to be there.
Yeah,
he's how about that X on those $50 bills? I haven't seen an X like that since like a Straight Edge punk show.
Exactly.
Right. On the hands. They used to put the,
like
all the
cartoon.
Straight edge kids. All the straight edge kids would put the big X on their hands and then they'd walk into the club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, no need to check my ID, man. I'm not drinking. Get the fuck
right.
inside.
Yeah. Have
fucking
a drink.
Straight edge fuckers.
ugly.
It's a point of honor.
Those guys were meaner than anybody. The straight
edge
guys.
Bunch of dildos.
They were. It was different back then. You were afraid of getting your ass kicked all the time.
What were the straight edge bands?
Oh, I don't know. It's Minor Threat's one of them.
Oh yeah, though. That's how I knew. Like, it was working in the meat factory, the meat department in Tampa, cutting meat.
Right.
And this guy was like, "Oh yeah," because Fugazi came to State Theater in Tampa, and I went and saw him, and I was telling him about it. He's like, "Oh yeah, I saw them so long ago, and you know, Mehdi and Mackay smoked a joint with him." I go, "You didn't smoke a joint with him."
And now I know you're lying.
I know you're lying. First of all,
he's not going to be smoking a joint. Second of all, it's certainly not going to be sitting around with you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be in the back reading Alexander Dumas.
Yeah.
Drinking tea because he's a teetotaler. The whole fucking band is. Get the fuck out of here.
All their songs are about the Three Musketeers.
I got to go take a nap on some soprasada.
Soprasat. Go back and listen to, I don't know what minute that was.
Yeah, somewhere in Caddyshack minute. The saga of Mike in the meat locker.
No, it would be the wheels of Parmesan because they're like this. Oh, and, and they were stacked like five across and four deep, and I used to lay on them because my back fucking hurt.
That's
so
gorgeous.
I went in the cheese cooler and smelled like it was all greasy because it's,
Yeah.
I'd see you look it up and seeing all those dried sausages linked together. I'm going, if I can hang myself from those things. Just end it.
That'd
right
probably
here.
Work. Sturdy.
Right here in the fucking meat locker.
That'll delicious way to go.
Find me in there. Joke's on you, asshole.
Probably going to sell this anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to sell the death pepperoni.
That's right.
We mentioned before the sort of non-poker faces of the Dukes. Like, they're not doing anything to, like, not Lewis or anything like that.
They're just
they hear this news, they're like, they're just kind of soaking in the shock and harumphing and everything.
It's not their first rodeo. They know how to play it.
They've done it before.
Oh, and that X is turned over there. But, oh, my God.
And, like, nobody stands up for him. Nobody, like,
No.
It's weird. It's not that weird. It's weird. Okay, so the Dukes come over and they're like, "I'm glad your parents were not alive to see this." And you're kind of, that would be like a different movie if his parents were around. Like if he had family or somebody to go to, and be like, "Oh my God, this horrible thing's happening to me."
And figure this whole thing out.
Yeah. Or even if they were like high society in Philadelphia or something, they were upper crust as well, and they would stand up for, this won't stand, my son's being framed, or something.
But
unless they're totally cold bastards who wouldn't be into it either, or something, I don't
know. It also tells you what kind of bastards the Dukes are, because they obviously knew his parents, were very close with them,
mm-hmm.
and fucked over their kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're close monsters. With the parents. Mm-hmm. Maybe, Tom, you could write the fan fiction for Trading Places.
There
where
we have.
It's an alternate universe where his parents are alive and he goes home and stays with them for a while and irons this whole thing out.
Yeah.
He never dresses up as Santa Claus, but not just for fun. He doesn't even eat salmon through his beard or anything.
Yeah. He dresses up as Casey. He's got a new lease on life.
Nice.
He realizes what's important, being Santa, giving gifts.
He not only
dresses
up as Santa, he acts like he's dressing up like Santa.
He acts like he's dressed like
that's
Santa,
right.
Which is what he's not
up
doing.
Like Santa?
You know what's really weird in this thing that I find was a little... So... We know that Beaks is from a security firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not law enforcement. So
right.
Those two guys that are behind him, they're like, essentially they're security guards, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They take him into a rough custody for a $50, pretty much petty theft, right?
Right.
I mean, they manhandle him right off the bat.
But I guess if it's like security for the club or whatever,
yes,
he's
job
done something wrong,
escort
so they're getting rid
out.
Of him. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If it would have been Eddie Murphy's character, they wouldn't have had to done this whole rigmarole with the X's. They would have been like, somebody stole $150 from the coat room. It was the black guy.
Who could it have been? Yeah.
They would immediately have said that. Escort the black guy out. That's what they would have done. But this time, they have to do the rigmarole because everybody's white. There's no way to figure out.
So what did Beak say to him on the way out?
The guy.
What did Beak say to the security guards? Get him the fuck out of here and use his head to open the door.
Right. Yeah.
What is that
movie
from?
Stay out.
What movie is that from?
I don't know.
It's Casino.
God damn it. I was actually going to say Casino.
So the guy in the cowboy hat has his feet up.
Problem is, again, as we discussed before, Mike, we don't know if you're saying what movie is that from. You want to know what movie it's from? right. or what movie, or you're asking us as a trivia right. question.
Do you need information, or are you quizzing us?
Total bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, Lewis, for the first of three, I think, times, he says, "I've never seen this before in my life."
And he does a wonderful thing. He does a point like this. He goes, yes. "I have never seen that before in my life." For those of you who are listening at home, I just pointed aggressively.
He pointed sternly and directly and aggressively. Yeah. It was beautiful. We should post an image of that, but we won't. Oh, Mike's eating. Mike's eating during the show.
What are you eating, Mike?
Oh, but he muted. Answer that was me. Good of him.
He's been doing the muting while he eats.
That's pretty nice.
What's going on? He's got a little towel there. It's like an old guy eating. He's got a towel for himself. Yeah.
What are you eating that you need a towel? Yep.
He's got a little towel. It's a pocket square.
All right.
Yeah, it's like a salmon. It's a washcloth. You know, because I'm
that's even
I'm
worse.
Look at the way he's dabbing his face like barf. An old man.
God, yeah. How do you mute your face?
What are you eating now?
Cut up watermelon from the store.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You get like a fork. Here's what you do. You get a fork, and then you can place the piece inside your mouth, and then you don't have to like take a bath after.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it in Connecticut. Apparently, that's not how it's done over here.
Mm. I told you about the time I tried to eat as much watermelon as I could. Right?
Oh, yeah.
No. We talk about that.
How'd that go?
There was a watermelon diet. There wasn't that Remind a fad us. For a while, wasn't
well,
it?
It might have been. It
clean yourself
been
out.
Well, it's just because there's almost nothing to watermelon. It's very mm-hmm. aptly named.
It's a watermelon.
It's mostly water, of course, as we all are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a watermelon even more. Well, I don't know what percentage of a watermelon is water, but it's got to be up in the 90s.
Right.
If I'm 70% water.
Yeah, and you don't seem
watermelon's
like
got to be way up there.
You
bite into a person, it's mostly meat and like solids.
I go
stuff.
Over 85.
All right, let me look
it
up.
Especially if you take the... But the business part of a water, the part you eat.
Yeah, not the rind.
The rind. Although I do eat some of the rind now. I always make
oh, really?
Too. Yeah, I
oh,
do. Weird. I like to eat the rind now.
Why?
It's weird.
What's
I feel
the
like I'm
part?
Getting something a little more substantial.
Mm.
And it's very fibrous. Like you're getting
right.
some good fiber there.
Guess how much?
Oh,
how
90.
Much?
How much?
90%.
97. 92%.
Wow.
Ooh, that includes the rind?
Sweet and succulent watermelon is a staple of summer picnics. I didn't know that. That's a bonus.
You learn something new every day.
Oh. I did not know that. It was a picnic staple.
Next time I go on a picnic, I'm going to bring this fancy watermelon with me.
Any more interesting watermelon facts that are on there, but make sure they're interesting. Don't just start listing all the random. Watermelon is of the such and such family.
There are seeds in watermelons? Son of a bitch. Now, wait a minute. You said it was 92%. What are people? Aren't people like 95
like
or something?
70.
Oh, 70. 70. Really?
We are the same, if this is interesting.
As the Earth.
Fact, yeah, we're the same percentage of water as the Earth is. Isn't that,
wow.
isn't that just as just we're made just as God wanted us?
Without
just
thinking about it long at all, that makes total sense. Yeah. Like, yep. you know, why wouldn't we be?
Seems like a coincidence to me.
But... Nothing at all.
Well, so... it is just I always as a kid I shouldn't say as a kid because I still don't understand it. They make these fruits and they're just like it's seedless.
Yeah,
how
do they
do that?
Jam.
And also, if they did that, like they should do that with people. Like they should be able to breed a person that's just shooting blanks.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it happens
and
by accident,
he's seedless.
I would think,
a seedless guy. Don't worry about it.
I would think if you can,
got
if you
syphilis,
can,
but he's seedless.
If you can genetically modify a fruit to not have seeds, mm-hmm. then you can genetically modify a human not to get cancer, right? You would think that.
Well,
if
you would
if
think
they
so.
Can do that,
how hard
if they
can
do that, are they sitting? Are we just not doing it?
What is cancer but a seed, really? When you think about it,
no. But I'm saying it's a resistance. It's like you should be able to do something
right.
like that.
It is. I mean, it's the GMO. Only. Is the only reason to create a fruit without seeds just for the convenience of the person
that's
eating
right.
it?
Yeah, it's
that
for
seems
the,
really
the desirability at the store.
First
that makes
problem.
Me tired. That makes me mm-hmm. sad for the earth and humanity. It's like how lazy can we possibly be?
I have exactly the opposite feeling about this.
Really? Go on. Because maybe you'll convince me.
I feel like it's we've done a lot of amazing things in the world.
Yeah.
And we just keep doing them.
Yep.
Some of them, and we're able to develop things that we've been able to do things to fruit to make it last longer on the shelf.
Sure.
Then we've done lots of stuff that will help make us more efficient to grow food.
Yeah.
I mean, not too long ago, people were like, look, there's going to be 7 billion people in the world eventually. Mm-hmm. We have food for like 90% of them are starving.
Yeah.
90% of the world is starving. We're going to have double the number of people. There's no possible way we're going to be able to feed them all.
But then why make a food?
And we've done it and then some. What's that?
Why make a food then that is like the end of the line? Like you can't take the seeds from that watermelon that you're eating and grow another watermelon.
Nobody takes the seeds from the watermelons now.
I know they don't, but
are being used anyway?
They're not, but they're there. Like you spit them out, they go into a compost pile, something might grow, life might continue.
I see your point, but
deliberately creating a dead end.
I encourage you to look at the ingenuity of it and the marvelous things we've been able to accomplish.
I agree with you.
What are the benefits? Besides a slight increase in convenience for the person eating?
Well, the benefits are as a whole. So the benefits are that you've made fruit more desirable for people to buy.
You have people to say, you know, I like it's watermelon's unsatisfying to me because I enjoy the taste of it, but I spit out all the fucking seeds, so I don't like to do it.
I frankly do not like watermelon seeds. I don't like them.
I don't either.
Yeah,
and it'll turn me off a watermelon.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What if I told you I can give you this fruit without the seeds? Well, I'd say you would have a customer for life.
And what if ribeye had seeds? I'd avoid it. Right? But since it has totally seedless, I go right through it.
And I'll tell you what. I agree with Dan.
What if milk had skin?
Let's put it this way. You got God. God walks into the bar that he goes to all the time, right?
It has been a day.
Like, and he's sitting there, you know, and one of the angels or whatever is sitting there. He's like, God, you look. And God's just staring off. He's like staring with a big wide eye, just like, wow. He's looking past the bartender like, wow, give me one of those drinks. Take a drink. But he's just looking straight ahead like, wow. He's thinking about something.
Yeah.
And Gabriel or whatever is saying, what's going on over there, God? And he's like, I don't know. It's just fucking seedless watermelons. Those sons of bitches downstairs. I created this thing perfectly, right? But these sons of bitches, they
not
ate
in
it.
The spirit.
Yeah, but they, right.
It possible for them to do this.
Right, no, but
it's not in the spirit of what I wanted, and they know that.
No, you're missing my point because you brought into my fucking story. What I'm saying is, he's like,
that was a joke.
Right, but he's saying, then they ate it for centuries, and now all of a sudden they fucking modified it to get rid of the seeds. I didn't even think about that. Hey, these fuckers just made my product even better.
So he's impressed with us.
He's impressed by it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the punchline of the joke?
It wasn't a joke.
All I know is at the beginning, God walked into a bar. No. And I've never heard a story in my life. Never one time. You've invented that. Now that's a bad invention.
No.
The God walking into the bar, straight up story with no punchline. That's worse than a seedless watermelon.
Well, that's the punchline. You go.
He
you go stand up
two drinks and then went home.
You go stand up in one of these clubs that you're always in. You know, you stand up. They give you a microphone. You stand on stage. I guess you're the comic, right? You go up there and you start. The first thing you say right off the bat is, "So God walks into this bar."
Walks into a bar. Guy goes, "What's up?" And he's like, "I just can't believe it. Seedless watermelons. They made seedless watermelons. That's not what I couldn't even have envisioned.
Can you believe how God would be impressed? And then people just look at him.
And then God be impressed. And then I go, that's the end of the story. Are you expecting a punchline on that one? That's just a story that I wanted to tell because I'm amazed by seedless watermelons. What do you guys think of seedless watermelons? Hey, how about that dating?
That's the way I talk. If I'm slated to give a presentation at work, I start it by somebody going into a bar.
I want to get to a point where I can do, if I could just interject here. I did a show at a little theater in Novato, California the other day. It's up in Marin or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I went up there and did this show, and they had all these props backstage, these pom-poms and things like that. They had a couple of rubber chickens.
Go Carrot Top on us.
Well,
you have some big ideas.
I just really
wanted
to. I was going to do 15 minutes, right? It was like a bunch of us doing 15 minutes, like five of us. And I'm like, I'm going to go in there. And I really wanted to do this. And I want to get to a point where I could do this. I wanted to walk out with a rubber chicken in my hand and then just deliver my entire set without ever mentioning it one time.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, like, scratch my head with the beak or something. You know? But, like, never say a single thing about
it.
And then
go,
thank you, good night.
Or even start a joke about a chicken.
You say, why don't you do it? And you might be right, but I can answer that question.
Okay.
I'm at a show. The guy emailed me out of the blue which is often what, you know, it's not someone I know. He just goes, hey, I heard you were recommended. Can you come to our theater? We're yeah. raising money for the theater, blah, blah, blah. And you come out and you start toying around with new ideas that may or may not work. People might be confused. Mm-hmm. You don't take a lot of chances in this situation. Although, to your point, perhaps I should be doing that. I'm 48 years old. I don't have time to become George Carlin at this point. So I might as well let my, my own personal sense of taste dictate.
Experimentation, yeah.
True. But if I do that too often, it doesn't work. People are like, that guy's just weird. He's not funny. Yeah. You have to be like, that guy's consistent and he's funny. I really wanted to do it though.
But
I
if you almost did it, but if you did it like once in a while, that'd make it even better.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would have been okay to do it, and I kind of wish I did.
Maybe in that situation where you're sort of like an unknown quantity or like not as well known, like, you know, you're, hey, come help us out with this thing. Maybe that's not the venue to do it. But if you're like, you know, you're billed on a thing, people are coming to see you, they might know your stuff, what you're about.
But then that's he doesn't want to disappoint them. Same time.
And the beauty that's not of this disappointing joke, that's like a solid bit that he could try.
And the beauty of this joke is that I don't actually change any of the material. I just do all the regular stuff. Right. I just happen to be carrying a rubber chicken in my hand. If anybody happens to mention the rubber chicken, maybe they yell out, "What's with the rubber chicken?" I go, "Oh my God, this! I didn't even mean this.
They just had this backstage.
I didn't even mean to bring this out here."
Yeah.
And then I go, "Actually, this is for after the show." it's pretty gross, actually. Trip. I'm not going to tell you what, but I'll take this backstage and I'll come back.
Or just come out dressed as a cowboy or something, or a policeman, and don't make any reference to it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. You know what you do? You come out like a construction worker with the vest, and then just do your set, and every once in a while, just kind of like go to your belt like you're going to take your clothes off because you're like, and then just stop. what were you thinking I was going to do? Or you come out with a big trunk, like you got a bunch of props in there.
Yeah.
And just open it up and set a few props on the side and just watch people's reactions like, oh, fuck. Goddamn prop comic. And then just launch into just a great set. And
just talk about observational comedy.
Yeah, and then put everything in the thing and leave. But watch everybody's reaction.
You'd be surprised you'd be surprised how the same joke wouldn't work because people are – their attention is divided and they're confused and it's easy. The most surprising thing about comedy to me has been how easily people are distracted or confused. Like it's really? Very difficult. Yeah. The most difficult thing in the world is to keep them all on the same page and keep them focused. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like reading a book to a kid. You have to go this and then this and then this. You can't,
oh, he's right though.
Loose. I can at imagine. All. Otherwise, people will go, "What's he talking about?" I don't understand.
I can imagine like a glass clinking in the background at exactly the wrong time, and there's like the rhythm of like what you're saying is completely.
The worst is the daiquiri. During the planned silence of a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, "Well, there goes that joke."
Yeah, there you go.
Dead.
Dead.
Dead. Well, I saw, or like people come with their own bullshit in their heads. I saw this one clip of this comic was on stage and he's obviously looking at somebody, obviously a couple. And he goes, "Is that your boyfriend?" And it's a couple. So maybe they didn't know who he was talking to, but the woman immediately said, "I'm a girl." And it threw everything off.
Oh,
because he's looking at, I guess he was talking to her. Like, "Is that your boyfriend you're with?"
Yeah.
But she thought, so she must've got all this shit. She's always getting this. She had like short hair, you know, and Ellen DeGeneres vest, you know, like she wore in the 90s.
Not a Han Solo vest, but an Ellen DeGeneres vest.
But like, so he goes, "Is that your boyfriend? Is that your boyfriend with you?" And she goes, "I'm a girl." And he's like, and everybody goes, "Ooh." And he's like,
"Moving on."
And so he's like, "Oh." But then she was like, "No, I'm a girl." And he's like, "Yeah, I was talking to your husband or your boy, the guy next to you. Or I was talking to you, asshole, about the guy sitting next to you." But it threw everything off.
Yeah,
and then you have to. Off. Then as a comic, you have to figure something out, which you did a pretty good job of.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, another thing that people don't realize is, because there's no way for them to realize it, is that you can't see them very well.
Yeah, yeah.
That you just look really lit up to them. Mm-hmm. They don't consider themselves to be in the dark, but they absolutely are in the dark.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at them, and you sometimes I've been like, "Is that, are you guys a couple?" And you like look closer, and it's like 270-year-old ladies or something. You know what I mean? It happens.
Why? Yes, I am.
Why? Yes, we are. oh my God.
Speaking of sometimes it happens, should we do trivia now?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's do it. Trivia.
They're playing the music. We gotta do it.
Trivial Pursuit Hollywood Flicks edition from 1989.
Hollywood.
Keep
flicks.
That in mind as you hear the nature of these questions. What is Mad Max's former occupation? We should all know
policeman.
This.
Policeman. Wasn't he a police officer?
That is exactly right. He was a
Mad
policeman.
Max the tax man. He was a tax man.
I just showed my son Fury Road the other day. He didn't care about Road Warrior, but he really liked Fury Road. I guess that makes sense in a way.
Who? Those are all good.
My son.
Is that good? The Fury Road? Is that good?
It's really good. You ever see that?
No.
Well, it's a great movie.
You and I saw it together.
We did. We did. And you were terrified after. You were like, I don't want to drive home. I think like some like maniac is going to be
crawling under my car. Well, it was unsettling in the sense that the entire movie pretty much is just being chased.
Yeah.
Like by all sorts of just people spray painting things in their mouth and stuff. it's anxiety. I was like, I felt like I was being chased all the way
home. Don't stop coming at you. Yeah.
Right.
That's why it's great. What veteran TV announcer landed a part in Radio Days? I think Radio Days is becoming like the Color Purple, Out of Africa, like every other question.
Yeah, Radio Days has shown up a few times. What TV announcer?
I want to say Don Pardo, just because it's the first name that comes to mind.
I was going to go in the kind of Edward R. Murrow direction, but he's probably dead by the time they made it.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have made it back by then. Oh, I see
Radio,
the answer.
Who would be? Let's go with Howard Cosell.
It is Don Pardo. Tom was right.
Oh, that makes
Holy
sense.
Holy jeez, Tom. No. Just say it when you're right.
Sorry. What Arnold Schwarzenegger epic was the last movie James Cameron directed before turning his attention to Aliens? What a weird question.
Well,
I mean,
if
the answer is Terminator 2,
to...
right?
Well, yeah, it has to be because...
No, it's not. Wait. It's Terminator. Yeah. It's the first Terminator.
Terminator, because that was like 82.
You're right. 84. Terminator. And yeah, Aliens was 86.
Is Terminator also 84?
Yeah.
I thought it was 82.
What a year for movies.
I know. No kidding.
Good Lord.
Nuts. And for sports. Oh, my God.
And for sports. Best 35-5 out of the gate.
What singer does Axel Foley say he's getting an exclusive interview with in Beverly Hills Cop? I have no idea.
That's a tough one. Don't know.
I don't remember, but let's go with...
We should know this one.
I think I've seen that movie all the way through, but I'm not positive.
He's in L.A., right?
I think the Beverly Hills area. I'm using context clues.
Well, there's at the beginning, he's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. They ship him to L.A.
Say anything there, yeah.
Though, Aretha, the Pointer Sisters play prominently. Let's go with Aretha Franklin.
Does that work for you, Mike?
I think so.
Oh, the answer is Michael Jackson.
Oh, that
he was a famous
a
singer.
Of
but
I don't remember that scene, though.
He's a famous singer.
What's Tom Highway's rank in Heartbreak Ridge? I don't understand one word.
Gunny. Lieutenant.
Gunny really, Highway.
Gunnery Sergeant.
Gunnery Sergeant.
Is that the right answer? Gunny?
Yeah, well, that's the term for it, like gunny.
Okay. Wow, like I don't know that movie at all.
Gunnery Sergeant.
Was that one of the movies? Is it like a Vietnam movie that came out in that kind of glut of Vietnam movies?
Yeah, Hamburger Hill, Platoon. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think Hacksaw Ridge is.
Full Metal Jacket.
Hacksaw Ridge might be in World War II, actually.
Oh, really?
You go to the Google.
Do we get
Heartbreak
the answer yet?
Ridge? Oh, the answer was, Gunnery
Ridge?
Sergeant.
Gunnery Sergeant.
Heartbreak Ridge?
Yeah.
Hmm. Who is it? Clint Eastwood?
It's just Tom Highway. I guess that's the
character. Gunny Highway. Mario Van Peebles is in it. Terrible movie.
He's looking it up right now.
Well, no, but I've seen it. That's why I said Gunny Highway. Did I not say that?
He did.
His last name is Highway. That's a total, like, you can hear the clickety clack of the writer.
Right.
Let's call him Highway.
It's like from Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. Which we Gunny just Highway. Watched last night. My son
which I watched recently,
night.
Too. Hilarious
That's a good
movie.
That's a
great
really
movie.
Movie.
It's like, let's call him Ford Fairlane.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I can see the poster now. What's Teddy Barnes shocked to find in Jack Forrester's closet in Jagged Edge? I'm going to say a jagged-edged knife.
A finger. Well, a finger.
Mismatched shoes. We are all wrong. It is a typewriter.
Clickety clack.
I feel like I saw that movie a lot when it was out and when it was on cable and stuff, but I don't remember it that well, I guess. That was a one card of trivia. Should we do another one?
Or
are we
done?
Okay, we'll do one more.
Exterior jungle. Highway sits and smokes a cigarette.
Gunny.
Hey, log lifts.
Hey, Gunny Highway, over here.
He exhales and goes, eh.
But we see the fog lift over the palm trees.
He goes, huh. What Frank Sinatra song opens and closes the Pope of Greenwich Village? I have no idea.
I didn't see the Pope of Greenwich Village.
I didn't either.
Is it good?
Is
that 70s?
It's supposed to be good.
60s?
It's like early 80s. Early 80s.
My way. No.
That is not the answer on the card. The answer is Summer Wind. The summer,
summer wind
was blowing in. Okay. How many people had Christine killed before she was off the assembly line? That's a good question.
Oh.
Ooh.
I want to say
two.
One. Maybe two. I can only picture one. Like the hood slams down on the guy's hand.
He was one day from retirement.
The answer is one. Look at me.
No.
Some more Stephen King. Who played political hopeful Greg Stilson in The Dead Zone?
Don't know.
I'll recuse myself because obviously I know the answer. Mike doesn't care. The answer is Martin Sheen. That's a good movie. Check it out.
Is it?
It is. What are the plant's first two words in Little Shop of Horrors?
Feed me.
It's got to be feed me, right? It is feed
gotta
me.
Gotta be.
It's Psycho. What movie shows Sigourney Weaver's eggs frying themselves, if you know what I mean?
Oh, Alien.
That is not it. It's a movie we all love, or at least revere.
Say the question again.
What movie shows Sigourney Weaver's eggs frying themselves?
Ghostbusters.
That's right. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's the scene when she...
Possession, that's right.
In their Central Park West apartment.
That's right.
Many shoves and zools knew what it was in the depths of Thor that day, I can tell you.
Giant moving Tor.
That's a great pickup line, though, if you're at a bar and you want to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you the gatekeeper?
I'm the keymaster.
I'm the keymaster. Are you the gatekeeper?
That was a good pickup line for a couple of years there in the 80s, sure. Wasn't it?
Yep.
Get you slapped.
I'm the gatekeeper.
What Brian De Palma movie was often compared? Oh, has often What Brian De Palma movie has often been compared to Hitchcock's Rear Window?
Oh, that's
gotta be.
I know it. God damn it.
Brian, use your words.
De Palma.
Not
I know
what the answer.
Lies Beneath, but the other one.
What Lies Beneath? Brian De Palma. No. I'm just gonna say it. Body Double.
Body Double, of course.
Body Double.
God damn it. What, isn't there one, What Lies Beneath?
That is a movie, but it's not Brian De Palma.
And the answer is What Lies Beneath, and the answer to that is Body Double.
Body Double.
Body Double Lies Beneath. Body Double was a huge movie for a pubescent Tommy Taylor in the early 80s on cable or whatever it was.
Body Double is a good movie, right? It's supposed to be.
It is. I mean, you know, if you want to be annoyed by it, you're like, oh, it's like just Hitchcock ripoffs left and right and whatever, but it's done well and it's great.
I mean, I don't mind you copying Hitchcock.
Yeah, come on.
You're going to copy from the best.
It's a solid way to start with anything.
The man's amazing.
He is. He knew his stuff.
He really did. Is that the last question?
That was the last question. That was trivia.
I saw a good movie recently.
Oh, what was that?
Highly recommended for the... if you're in that kind of an artsy mood.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, it's called After Sun.
Yeah?
Piece of art, I must say.
Okay.
A really incredible piece of art.
Nice.
Magnificent.
After Sun.
After Sun, one word.
One word. Okay.
Coming of age drama filmed and written by Charlotte Webb.
Charlotte Webb.
Charlotte Webb.
Written and directed by Charlotte Webb.
Charlotte
you saw
Webb.
A movie made
owning
by
a
Charlotte.
Gym.
By, you went and saw a movie by Charlotte Webb. So, I'm sorry. My fault. Charlotte Wells.
Okay. I knew something was wrong.
Written and directed by Christopher Robin.
I'm sorry.
Directed by
Christopher Richardson.
Yeah.
We're about to throw things out the window.
Written and directed by the Cat in the Hat.
I wouldn't read anything about that movie, though, before you see it.
I'm reading the first line.
I just want to read the first line.
Why? Don't read the first line.
Because it doesn't say anything.
Don't say anything at all about it.
I'm taking my headphones off. He's ruining it.
I hate you.
No.
Oh, you fucking dick.
I didn't hear it.
All right, anyway.
Someone for me. Dan.
It's like the plot from
No, it's not. We want to thank our beautiful patrons like Captain America, William Mark Kavich. Campbell, Mark Mattis, William Kavich,
Nathan Shuckman,
Damanon Garza,
Bob Gresham.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everybody else over there at Patreon who's helping us out at patreon.com/ditchdiggers. Get over there sign up to get early access to this show and other stuff. You can get postcards from us. You can get your name read on the show. It's fantastic.
F. Murray Abraham.
I want to thank F. Murray Abraham.
F. Jackie Abraham.
Everybody, please come back next time for minute 38, let's say, of Trading Places here.
Yeah, let's say that.
Let's say it at the Trading Places minute.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.